Jesus, we claim this time, whatever my agenda was, whatever our agenda is, take it away. Take this, claim it as yours, make it yours, make us see, hear, and help me to say what you once said. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I stood up here and grabbed the platform and I could hear a hush go through the crowd, like, what in the world? If you're here for the first time, my normal position is over here with the worship team. This is a kind of out-of-body experience, but I've accepted it. Good morning, everyone. I am Rudy Fenner. I am humbled and blessed to be here with you today. We're continuing the series, I Am Here, where Jesus spoke of seven distinct I Am statements, and it talked about his character, his identity, and his purpose. Week one, we did I Am the Light, where we were encouraged to receive the light and then take that light back out. Week two, we were told about I Am the Good Shepherd, where we encouraged to care for each other. And today, Pastor Tim has done with me like he's done with many of you all. He has walked with me through some incredible joys and then some incredible, I'll almost call it weird. You ever have something that's so bad it's like weird? It's kind of like you feel like you're watching yourself, like, who is that? That's so bizarre. And he knew of my experiences and thought on the I Am the Vine series I might have something to contribute. I'm hoping by the end of this you'll feel that same way. For context, and I want to read this to make sure I say this right. Before Jesus spoke about being the vine in John 15, he had already shared many parables, the sower, the mustard seed, the good Samaritan, the prodigal son. He had moved from parables, and then he was really teaching lessons. And in his lessons, he was preparing the disciples for his departure. And here's what I'm going to leave you with. Jesus paused at the end of the Last Supper, in the quiet, in the stillness. He read this scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, and then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. If you do remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified when you produce much fruit and in this way prove that you are my disciples. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Amen. So, I've read this, and I don't know if you all do this. When you read scripture, there's a word that immediately comes to your head, a thought that comes to your head. Whenever that happens, don't let it go, because that's the thing that God has given you and enabling you to grab. Something in that scripture that you read that you may want to pray about and you may want to move forward with it, because I had a moment. I've read this dozens of times, but when Pastor Tim said, this is what I want you to speak to, I read it, and the thing that came to mind was a question. The question was, what kind of branch are you? And I asked myself that question, what kind of branch am I? Because there's some options here. You can be a no fruit bearing branch, a branch that's discarded, a branch that's separated from the vine and still trying to produce fruit, or a well-connected fruit producing branch, or on the way to becoming a fruit-producing branch. And the fruit being, just for clarification, because I wanted to make sure I had this straight, the fruit is the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, kindness. So in other words, I want to be a branch, as God has instructed me, where when you're around me, it's a good thing. I'm giving you good things. I'm not tearing you down. I'm building you up. When I thought about this, what kind of branch am I? I realized I wear a clever disguise. I'm a little older than I look at times. People have often said when I say my age, what? And so as a result of being a little older, I've had a few experiences, and I gotta be honest with you, I've been every branch. I've been a discarded branch. I've been a branch that was trying to produce mine is God. I've been all those things. And I thought about the best way to do this is take the metaphor and bring it to real life and use my life and just be vulnerable here and tell you those times and places. Four pieces. My faith life, my family life, my work life, and my health. It's been a fascinating part, and I didn't realize this until really I started looking at this, where I've been disconnected and connected. I've been connected to the vine. I've been totally oblivious to the vine. I've lived all aspects of that, and let me just reflect on that for a minute. First, my faith life. Now, I know this happens to nobody else in here, but I've been here at Crossroads since 1996. Been a little bit of time. We've seen a few things. I had a situation to occur at church where I became offended. I was so offended, I left the church. I said, I'm out. I don't need it. I got to go. And I walked away, and I joined another church. I stayed within the body, but I had left the church. That was the disconnected version of the situation, right? So on my own impulse, on my own response, I had a response, and my response was just to leave. I'm at home working out, and I'm watching a pastor. And this is the funny part of the story. It's the pastor. I'll be honest, I'm not really that crazy about him. I don't know why I was watching him. I'm watching him, and he reads a passage, and he says, blessed is those who are with able to withstand offense. Bloom. Now, I really don't like him. Because I didn't like him to begin with, and he said a scripture that was on point. And I realized, dude, you overreacted. You got the thinnest skin in the whole church. Somebody said something to you and you ran out like a two-year-old. Go back to church and fix it. My wife is amazing because I do some kind of crazy stuff. I follow what's in my heart. And if you around a person that follows their heart, it's a bizarre life. I say to her, we're in the middle of another church. And I said, we got to leave. We got to go back. She's like, what? And I said, no, we got to go back to Crossroads. And I explain all of this, and I think sometimes she just gets tired. She says, okay, let's go back. And I told somebody, I was talking to Cindy, one of the members of the church, and I said to her, while I was away, I was in the house, but it was like every shutter, every light was off. It was a dark house. I was in the house doing all the things that looked right, but it was dark. I kid you not, when I came back to this church, within a week, it's like a light came on, and then the shutter came up. And a light came on, and a shutter came up, and all of a sudden, all these things aren't connected, right? My work life started to pick up. My family life started to pick up, and God was just saying, connect back with me, come on back. It was a great example for me of being disconnected and connected to the vine and producing that fruit. My family life. I know nobody else in here is like this, but I think I got married when I was 21. Nobody gets married when they're 21 anymore. Everybody waits a little while. Getting married at 21, I can tell you, I can explain why some people decide to wait. Well, at 21, I was a bit unstable. I was a bit opinionated, usually wrong, but I was convinced I was right. And I was the scorekeeper. I know y'all don't know what that is, but in relationships, scorekeepers are people that I'll do something good for you if you do something good for me. If you do something I don't like, I'm gonna do something that you don't like too. So I kept score and I did all those things. I connected back to the vine. I had people, incredible family, incredible men of God who just said, that has nothing to do with the love of God. Why don't you, with your wife and your family, do good? I'm kind of like, but what if they do good? No matter what, do good. I connected back. Strange. I believe the people in my house liked me better. We got along a lot more. We don't really argue because God had compelled me to do good. My work life. Yeah, this was a good one. I thought I was in the church. I've been in the church since I was 19, 20 years old. You know, I really wasn't. I had my toe kind of in the water a little bit, but I wasn't all the way in. And there was no time when this was more real. I walk into work, into a Bible study. I'm in a Bible study, and I'm sitting on the front row, right at the table. You know, there's some seats outside, and I'm at the front row. A guy walks in. This is no joke. He says, whoa, I can't believe you're in here. Let me just tell you, that's not a compliment. when you're in a Bible study and somebody comes in the Bible study and says they're shocked that you're in the Bible study, it's not a compliment. And I realized immediately my life had nothing to do with church. Nobody outside of the people in the church knew that I went to church. My first reaction, I grew up in Northwest DC. It was not a really rough neighborhood, but if some of y'all were there, you say it was a rough neighborhood. There's a side of me that's somewhat aggressive. When he said that, that old side started to come back out. I was very disturbed that he would actually say that to my face and insult me like that. And God just said, shush, you need to hear what he just said, because they don't know you're connected to me. Why is that? Did they do something or did you do something? And I had to check myself, and I realized my church life and my life weren't connected. You're talking about disconnected from the vine. Again, they didn't know I went to church. I quote a scripture and throw everybody into shock. That shouldn't happen. Those examples helped to create and weave this quilt, if you will, where God started to connect more with my life. And I began to realize you got to decide who you are, and you got to connect. And you're the kind of Christian. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. This is the conversation. You're the kind of Christian that you need to be reminded every day. Because you, my brother, every about 3 hours, you're trying to get off the bus. You have to have things in your life that keep you connected throughout the day, from the morning all throughout the day, because you're trying to exit. You got to put things in place. I started to do that. And a good thing that I did, because in about April of 2022, I began what I call an odyssey. And it's like I noted at the beginning, it was almost like an out-of-body experience. I go in for what I think is a standard physical. During the physical, I had something that I asked my doctor about. The doctor took a look at it and said, well, I want to do a biopsy on that. Well, first of all, I didn't even really know what a biopsy was. I had to look that up. My wife keeps me educated. So I understand what a biopsy is, and I'm not thrilled about any of that. I have a biopsy, and I'm diagnosed. What eventually was explained, because they didn't really tell me at the beginning, I think they wanted me to kind of be composed. I was diagnosed with stage 4 salivary gland cancer. First, I didn't really know that. I knew what a salivary gland was, but I had to do a lot of research to really understand what I had. I didn't understand the cancer. I didn't understand all that. And I had a 1 or 2 week window where I disconnected from the vine. And let me tell you what a branch does when it disconnects from the vine in that situation. I went to Dr. Google, and Dr. Google told me, you, my friend, are probably going to die. Because that's what Dr. Google tells us about everything. I talked to a doctor, did a consult. He said, what we need to do is we need to do a neck dissection. I read about a neck dissection. Every ugly picture of a neck dissection was the first thing that popped up. It was horrible. I'm like, okay, never mind. I stopped looking at everything, and then I reconnected. I reconnected to the vine. And the men of God surrounded me, my family of God surrounded me, my family surrounded me, and they started to remind me that I was connected. The most profound thing that somebody said to me, one of my pastor nephews, who's my dude, he says, I don't care what they tell you when they talk to you. There is nothing that they will name that is above the name of Jesus. I don't care. He says, I don't care. I don't even need to see the sheet. Whatever they tell you, it's below that name. Remember when they tell you, it's below the name. When they tell you what they're going to do, it's below the name. Everything is below the name. And I begin to process that. This is, by the way, right before Easter service and Palm Sunday in 22. I came here and worshiped. I didn't tell the team anything. I didn't know what I was. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know how I had progressed. I didn't know anything. What I decided... we are going to worship. If it's the last worship I do, we are tearing this thing down. And they saw this crazy energy. And nobody really knew why, because I didn't share, because I kept to myself. I go in for my diagnosis. I go in for the game plan. And let's put a picture one. This is a result of the neck surgery. At this point, I had just finished what is it, about a 4-hour surgery, I think. I had all sorts of things taken out and all sorts of recovery. And the doctor comes into me, he says, I got everything. He says, but I found so much. Tell you what I need to do. I need you to do the radiation and I need you to do the chemo. I just feel better if we do that. Well, that may have been a few minutes after. Actually, that's a drug photo right there. I'm very drugged up, I can tell. I just looked at my eyes, no, don't reference that because that's a lot of drugs. But anyway, I start to understand what everything is and I begin to process what this journey will look like. Again, disconnected, I'm believing all of the negative things that come from the surgery, that come from the treatment. And there are people who are saying, maybe you should consider some alternative to the treatment. Maybe you should. And I just go back to what my pastor nephew tells me. And he says, it's below. Whatever it is, it's below. So we line everything up. We begin the process. Please let me see the next picture. This is neck radiation. That's my face. That's my body. And that's my head that's screwed down to that table. The numbers that I should have called at the beginning to give you full perspective, 1, 5, 33, 18, 1, and 5. One surgery, 5 chemotherapy treatments. This session right here is a radiation treatment. That was done 33 times. 18 infusions of another drug and then some other things later on. But the big thing is this. When you're in here, I know it's not funny, but it's funny because I did it. I'm telling you, it was something about it at the end that just made me laugh. The room that you're in when you do this is a room that has a door that might be 2 feet thick. And when the door closes, there's a sound because it's cut off from everything else. And just let me tell you, before they close the door, everybody else runs out. You never want to be in a room where everybody's leaving and they shut the door. And they say to me, if you need something, just hold up your hand. Oh, I feel much better now. So they go in and it is absolutely painless. It's absolutely a non-event, but it's just weird, right? I, disconnected, have a moment of fear and then I reconnect. And when I reconnect, I remember Jehoshaphat. And what Jehoshaphat did in the Bible, if you go back, I think it's in Kings, there's a place where Jehoshaphat is faced with insurmountable odds. There's an army that's gigantic. There's all sorts of forces that have combined to kill him and everybody associated with him. And they say, okay, here's what we're going to do. They get a prophetic word. What does the word say? The word says, we're going to march on them. We're going to play some music, and we're going to sing, and we're going to go to them, which is bad advice in a war, but that's what they decided to do. So I took my cue from that, and let me tell you what I did. Please play that song for me. Every time I would go in for treatment, I'd make them play the song. The song is called Show Up, because God never stops showing up. I wanted me to understand that and me to be reminded of it. And most importantly, you know what was crazy? I wanted the technicians to understand that, because I wanted to leave them with something else. When y'all have people in this room, y'all are ministers, man. You're giving life to these guys. Walk like that. Talk like that. So as these sessions are going by like 20, I'm telling you, it's walk-up music for me. Let's go. Where's the mask? Put it on. Let's go. And it became a thing where I'm losing altitude, because after about 15 radiation treatments, you ain't looking so good. Your strength and your stability starts to kind of fall off a little bit. And mine did as well. Please, next picture. At the end of session 33, oh, that was, by the way, that was just like a fascinating shot. I always show that because that's kind of like the Star Wars thing, right? You know that deal, the swirl tail guys? I saw that in the mirror. I said, oh, I got to get a picture of that because that's so weird. And so I just captured it. Please, next picture. This next picture, that's at the end of 33 radiation treatments. That actually is a happy picture. That was a good day. I weighed 125 pounds. Nothing fit. The hat was too big. The jacket was too big. But let me tell you what happened. Disconnected, you could see me and you could see the fragility. I hadn't eaten at that point in 21 days because I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink. I was living off of IVs. But in the middle of all of that, again, reconnected. And God said, I got you. All I need you to do is just be me reflect me, be my light to the doctors. And that's what I did. I was a light to the doctors, a light to the nurses. Every nurse that I've ever met received candy and cookies from me. We always did that. One nurse asked me why. I said, because you're sticking things in me. I want you to be happy. Makes sense to me to give you a cookie? The last time I went to a doctor for an appointment, they said, why do you always bring things? I said, okay, let me just see. I gave you a donut and you saved my life. I think I'm going to give you the donut. It's a fair deal. Just trust me, I'll give you the donut. But in the midst of all of this, I started to think about where I was, and I thought about the restoration that God talks about, the recovery that God talks about. And I thought about the places that I had seen David go in the Bible, and the places that I had seen so many heroes of the Bible go, and I'd seen them all lifted, all uplifted and all restored. Please let me see that next video. This is me today. That treadmill is probably going about 10 miles per hour. I run 5Ks, I do sprints, I do all sorts of things because God said to me, I don't want you restored, I want you better. I don't want anybody to even know what happened to you. My goal is that if you were to meet me on the street, if I hadn't told you this story, you wouldn't know any of this stuff has happened, because that's God's restoration. That's how God recovers you. You might have a limp, but the limp doesn't really, it isn't really something that anybody notices that you have to, or you have to explain it to them. Connected to the vine is an amazing place. I told people, I said at the beginning, I should say, and I mentioned this earlier, on my next birthday, I'll turn 68. When I'm 70, I want to be one of the oddest 70-year-olds you've ever met. You are unable to even comprehend the weirdness that I have for you at 80. Oh, I'm going to be a weird old dude. I'm going to be so weird. Man, you are going to say, I don't want to have dinner with that guy right now. He's just a little too much. This is too much. But I believe that God has given each of us, please do not be impressed with anything that you've seen or heard from me. Do not be misled. I have no gifts. I have no powers. I'm one of the most untalented people you will meet, but with God, I will beat you at anything you want to play. I don't care what it is. Bring your lunch. I'm not going anywhere. If God has convinced me of that thing, if you meet me, it's a long day. At work, I've had people that are mean, and I've told guys, God has me here for you, and we're going to fix this. You can fire me if you want to, but I think if we fix you, if we get this problem set with your attitude and your work, and I'm telling you, I did this with a boss. I said, I believe your home life will be better because I can't believe you just like that here. I believe you like that everywhere. And do you know, it's a good chance when I go back to my phone, he will have texted me this morning and told me something about his family. But that's God. That ain't me, right? So the last thing I want to show you is when you walk in my house now, that's a fountain. I mimic and I imitate the heroes of the Bible. And Moses and everybody in the Old Testament, they always did something. They put something to mark a spot. Here's what happened here. And here's when this happened. Because they don't want to forget. My wife sometimes, I'm sure she gets crazy because I talk about cancer recovery. And I'm sure sometimes she was just like, can you just not talk about that right now? Can we talk about the sunshine and all that stuff? I can't. Because God has done an amazing thing. I can't move out of this spot. Man, when y'all see me over here, for those that are regularly here, and I have my hands waving, and I'm saying amen, I don't mean to offend or annoy you, but I'm not going to stop worshiping. I can't. I've seen this thing. I've read about God for years. I've been there now. I know what he can do. And here's the thing that I need to leave you with. The scripture says, put on the full armor of God so that you might withstand the fiery darts. It didn't say a fiery dart might come. Go back and read it. It says, so that you may withstand. It's coming. Stop being surprised. We have something happen in our lives. We're always so shocked. Really? Do you really think it's just going to be we just clipping off roses and filling up the vase all day? That's what you thought? My wife said to me at the beginning of all this, I'm really so sorry this happened to you. I don't know if y'all do this. Every now and then I say something and I walk away like, I shouldn't have said that. Well, she said, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. My words to her was, I can't think of a better person for this to happen to. And then I said, it's kind of like, did I mean to say that? That was kind of crazy what I just said. But what I really understood later on, I had to understand what I was saying to her to understand it in total. God had prepared me all the time. When I was diagnosed, it was almost like God sat across the table and said, well, big boy, you've been telling these guys that you believed in me. You told them what I could do. You told them what I would do. Now what do you believe I can do? We are at the rubber meets the road right here, pal. I need to know, even to the point, if you die, I need to know how you're gonna die. Are you gonna die with me, connected? Or are you gonna separate and act like a guy that's never heard of me before? It was a moment, it was a time, through God's grace and through this church and through the people that I'm around, I was able to hold on to it. And I'm telling you, what I didn't mention is at the end of all of this, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Man, I told Bray, what you got? Bring that on over here. Show me what? I had that treatment. Nobody even knew I did that treatment. I did that treatment like it wasn't even a lunch break. We just went down a couple of days, give me the radiation. I mean, it was standard radiation, but it's kind of like, all right, that's fine. We're going to do this procedure. All right, let's get on. And now I'm in a position of understanding that life will come. God has gone no place, and he is going no place. He's constantly in this position to all of us. And I'm telling you, you don't have to. I'm going to run like a baby and dive in those arms every time. I'm trying to stay hugged up with God every day. Please, can we show that prayer? Every morning when I wake up, I have a prayer, and I'll close you with this. I kid you not, every single day, I say this every day, because again, I'm the kind of Christian believer who is trying to get off the boat every day. So I need to be reminded, and this is what I read. I say, thank you, Jesus, for a refreshing night of rest, for allowing me to wake, recharge, healthy, fit, prepare for all that you have for me today. Awake excited and elevated heart rate, anticipating the blessings you have in store for me today. Help me be a blessing to someone today. In all things, help me seek first the kingdom and teach this concept to others. Lord, be my GPS. Help me feel and know your presence, hear your voice, and see the paths you make for me throughout the day. I'm adorned in the armor you've instructed me to wear, standing where you call me to stand, ready for battle. Yet, at the same time, I know the battle is not mine. The battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and dominions on high. Father, I submit all of my battles, all of my fights to you. Thank you for giving me at least one more day to try and get it right. And thank you, Lord, for unprecedented favor in all aspects of my life. I read that every day. And every day, I kid you not, I get to Ashburn Boulevard coming out of my house and somebody cuts me off and that guy's trying to show up. And I'm almost saying that prayer. Let you battle not against flesh and blood. I have to say it to myself because I'm about to go off. I'm going to lose myself. Or I'm at work and some situation presents itself. We battle not against flesh. If you walk past me, you think I was crazy. But I'm really praying. I'm always praying about something because life is real. It's the same for me as it is for you. And I'm always facing stuff and I'm always calling God to help me out and help me through. I ask that you all consider these things as I close. Consider praying daily. I try to pray every day because I kid you not, every single day there's something that tries to disconnect me from the vine. I don't want to be disconnected because I found that this vine life, I'm going to get a shirt like that, vine life. The vine life is a different life. It's an amazing life. Try reading scripture every day. And I say that because everything is rooted in the word. If you have days like me where you feel kind of lazy, go out and find that Bible that'll read to you. There's one that just reads the scripture to you. You don't even have to read. It'll just tell you what's in the Bible. That's a beautiful thing. And then the last thing, they always talk about small groups here. And I say they because it's generally Marcella and Pastor Tim talking about that. And they talk about different activity here. Connect with the body. Because I'm telling you, a lot of what I said to you today, I got from people who are just members of a church, not a pastor, not lay leaders, not deacons, not anything like that. They're just people who are in the church who just happened to drop a word, and that word was something that was life-giving to me. Stay connected to the body. I think if we do these things, we can continue to be connected to the vine and just I would say I'm always understanding that everything dark in the universe wants me to disconnect. It wants me to try to be an independent branch. It wants me to try to be a branch that's trying to produce fruit of my own. And as I've dramatically displayed to you today, that plan doesn't work. You want to stay connected to the vine. I pray for you all and thank you very much. Thank you.